Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome into a brand new episode of the Face Turn Podcast right here on the Sports Insanity Network. I'm Noah Trombley, joined as always by Lawrence Patchman Lang and Mike the Pun Master Rifkin. Gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
Getting ready for press conferences.
Hopefully, chairs don't go flying, fists don't get thrown, and someone doesn't get a broken jaw like Geno Smith did a couple years ago.
I think that's one of Mike's favorite things to mention on the football podcast. Shout out, plug for the Wishbone Shotgun there. All right, yeah, but we just mentioned it now. So a lot of stuff happened this past weekend. We were recording this on Friday, the 9th of September. All of this stuff that we're talking about happened on this past weekend. Now, we already reviewed Clash of the Castle, WWE's big show this weekend. And we planned, it was funny because we planned to just do a Clash of the Castle all-out reaction show, both in the same thing. However, so much crap happened after All Out went off the air and leading up into this Wednesday's Dynamite that we had to split it up into two episodes because there's just been breaking news upon breaking news upon breaking news regarding the situation at AEW. And it's crazy, you know, because, you know, just Mike, we're talking about All Out. MJF returned and his return has been so overshadowed.
Oh, 100% it's overshadowed. And it's funny because it's like double or nothing. What was the talk? MJF's not there. He's not going to show up. It's this. He cuts the epic Tony Khan promo after double or nothing. And then it was like, okay, he's gone away. The return, there's nothing that could end that show bigger than that. CM Punk, even though you're straight edge, I'm going to say this anyway. CM Punk says, hold my beer.
Pretty much. Patchy, what was just your reaction to just all of this stuff going on before we get into it?
It's kind of like, I'm going to allude to this because we're going to skip over this most likely. It's like worlds collided finally in AEW. Worlds collided, NXT had their pay-per-view. Unfortunately, you guys, there might be a part three to this, and we'll have our own separate thing for Worlds Collide because we got to address some situations in Worlds Collide from NXT. But for this is like something I alluded to once, you know, AEW has just started signing talent after talent. Eventually, worlds are going to collide, heads are going to collide, creative's going to collide, because if you have everyone have their own little creative freedom, everything's finally just going to collide, and it's going to be a banger, and it's going to turn into what has just transpired. People are suspended, you're stripped of titles, you're not champions anymore, you might be fired, you might not be fired, you have a broken jaw, black eye.
Yeah.
It's like the perfect storm, and I've said it countless times, I think, here and to my friends, AEW is going to end up like WCW and just crumble under because this stuff should not be happening. People can say this might be the biggest work ever in wrestling. This is not the biggest work in wrestling. This is
why don't we save that for when we actually we'll get into it and we can dive into what this means.
Did you just interrupt me, you Mark?
I'm sorry. We'll address
Noah, not Mark.
Yeah, we'll address all of the implications that came from all this, but let's get into what actually happened for anyone who doesn't know, anyone who has been living under a rock for the last week. So what AEW does is after every pay-per-view, they have a quote post-media scrum where talent from the show will come on and they'll do interviews and all this kind of stuff.
It's a press conference.
Basically, yeah. It's basically a press conference, like every NFL or NHL team has after.
UFC, yeah.
UFC, kind of stuff like that. Well, everything was going smoothly until about 5 minutes in when CM Punk took the stage, so to speak, and someone asked him about Colt Cabana. Someone asked him about Colt Cabana, and this led into Punk going into an epic tirade spanning multiple people, multiple incidents. So here's most of the quote for you. Punk addresses the question and goes, I haven't had anything to do with Scott Colton, Colt Cabana, for almost a decade. Probably wanted nothing to do with him even longer than that, Punk said. It's effing unfortunate that I have to come up here and speak on this when I'm on my time and this is a effing business. Why am I a grown-ass adult man and I decide not to be friends with somebody who is nobody else's effing business? But my friends, if I fall backwards, will catch me. Scott Colton, I felt never would have. He continues to go on. My problem was I wanted to bring a guy with me to the top that did not want to see me at the top. Okay. You can call it jealousy. You can call it envy, whether the F it is. My relationship with Scott Colton ended long before I paid all of his bills. I have every receipt. I have every invoice. I have every email. I have an email where he says, I agree to go our separate ways. I will get my own lawyer and you do not have to pay anymore. That's an email that I have. And the only reason the public did not see it is because when I finally had to countersue him through discovery, we discovered he shared a bank account with his mother. That's a fact. As soon as we discovered that fact, we subpoenaed old Marsha. He sent the email. Oh, can we please drop all of this? Now it's 2022. I haven't been friends with this guy since at least 2014, late 2013. He then turned his ire to the EVPs of the company, that being the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson, and Kenny Omega. Quote, the fact that I have to sit up here because we have irresponsible people who call themselves EVPs and couldn't effing manage a target, and they spread lies and BS and put into the media that I got somebody fired when I have F all to do with him, want nothing to do with him, do not care where he works, where he doesn't work, where he eats, where he sleeps. The fact that I have to get up here and do this in 2022 is effing embarrassing. Oh boy. Let's just say this. There's more to this, but let's just address this. Let's just address that first part of his tirade. Mike, obviously we know the drama that went with him and Colt Cabana, so I don't think that really needs to be touched. I mean, you can look back on it. Many articles written by many sources about the public falling out that those two had. What do you make of him going after the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega like this?
I'm going to quickly address the Cabana thing really quick.
Okay, go ahead.
All you have to do as a professional and say, I'm not talking about that person. I have no comment. That's all he had to say. He did not have to call out Cabana. Nothing to do with Cabana. Don't answer the question. Say, no, I've got no comment. No one's going to bat an eye at that. So as for his talks of the Bucks and Omega, I'm going to mainly go Bucks here because Omega's been on the shelf. I don't know how much input he has had recently. If the I'm not saying anything he said is true, but I have to take him at some point for his words. If they're spewing information out that is false on behalf of one of their superstars, albeit the world champion, that is wrong. Now, do I believe they're doing that? No, I don't. I believe wrestling journalism is always looking for a story. And honestly, I'm going to say this, even though this situation is bad, he's an easy target. He really is an easy target for any sort of issues. He's a moving target because of who he is and what he's done. That being said, this is not the place to handle it. That is not what you do. You don't throw your bosses under the bus. You don't throw, honestly, the person who I feel the worst for, it's not the Bucks, it's not Punk, it's not Colt Cabana, it's not Omega, it's Tony Khan.
And you know what the craziest
thing is? Sitting right next to
that's
him.
That's the thing is that Punk is going off on this stuff, and Khan's sitting there like, dude, what are you doing?
But by the way, he's sitting there eating something from a bakery, some pastry, and talking this smack. I was, whoa. And Tony Khan can't say anything because what is he going to say that can make this?
What are you going to tell your world champion to shut up?
Yeah, I don't think you should say this, Punk. You know, and so I felt bad for Tony in that situation. But look, if you got a problem, you talk this out behind the scenes. Things happen everywhere. Whatever sport, life, whatever it is, stuff happens. You never drag this through the media. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. That's a massive issue.
Right, and we'll get into the rest of this because this is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to this whole thing. Patchy, what did you think hearing Punk just obliterating Omega and the Bucks like this?
Yeah, you want to talk about – we talk about CM Punk's pipe bomb from over 10 years ago, if not 10 years ago, 2012, where, you know, he basically shooted in WWE and said, this is what's wrong here, and this is what's wrong here, and this is what's wrong here. But we look at this now, and this is like a simple question just sent Punk off into the deep end. Like, he went in and swam with the sharks, and he's like, my mouth is a gun, and I'm going to shoot. And that's what he basically just did. It's like you cut the strings off everything, and he was just like, boom. And I felt bad for Cabana because Cabana didn't deserve that. I agree with Rifkin. He could have just said, I'm not commenting on this right now. I don't want to talk about it. I want nothing to do with him. It could have been a simple explanation as that. But maybe the question just threw him off, and he just had to squander it. But it's like, how does you shooting on Cabana go into you saying the EVPs and all this is doing this to make this happen? It's like, come on. Punk, shut the fuck up. I love you. I loved you as a wrestler, but you are grabbing more disdain from people more than ever.
And that is a very interesting thing because, you know, and we'll get into all the other stuff, like I said, that happened, but to just go off on a guy like that and then go off on the EVP saying they should have known better, this was none of their business, they should have stayed out of it, when they hired Cabana, like, Cabana was there before Punk, so don't come in, Punk, and think that you're better than the company, because they brought in Cabana way before they brought you in. And you're just going to come in here and try to bully him out of the company? That's not right.
Why not just let him be? You two don't you guys don't have to be with each other. Unfortunately, you know, like, this boils down to, you know, how wrestlers hate to work with each other, but they hate each other, but they're not going to let anything happen to each other in the ring because that's the code of conduct in pro wrestling. If they had to work a match together, which was never going to happen in the first place, but if they worked a match together, you know they wouldn't legitimately hurt each other because that would be a bad look for the company.
Right, absolutely.
But backstage, stay the way from hell of each other. Don't get involved.
And like you two said, if you don't like the question, just be like, I have addressed everything with Colt Cabana. I am not talking about that right now.
And a couple of things. I've read this. I don't know if it's true, but it looks like Cabana's going to the Ring of Honor side of things.
Yes,
that's what I've read. The other part of this is, and you said it, Cabana was brought in before Punk, which is right. But I wonder this. Cabana and the Bucks, I guess, are friends from...
They're pretty close, yeah.
From the indie scene or whatnot. I wonder how much of that was the Bucks bringing in their guy and then Tony saying, hey, I'm the guy with the money. I could bring in the big free agents. And then there could be the divide between Tony and the Elite. I'm not saying there is because I don't know. I'm not out there. I'm not on the inside.
I will say, Mike, given what Tony Khan did, there might be, you know, but we'll get into that in just a second. So that was just the first part of Punk's rant. He was not even close to done because he then led – from that rant about Cabana and the Bucks and Omega, he then went into Hangman Page, who reportedly he said some things during the Punk during his and Punk promos leading up to their match at Double or Nothing that Punk didn't like. Now, that was all that was said at the time. So it was like, oh, okay, there's just a misunderstanding. They cleared it up. Well, apparently not, because Punk went on to go to quote, "What did I ever do in this world to deserve an empty-headed, effing dumb F like Hangman Adam Page to go out on national TV and effing go into business for himself? For what? What did I ever do? Didn't do a goddamn thing." He was not done after that. He goes, Punk later said, "I'm trying to run an effing business. And when somebody who hasn't done a damn thing in this business jeopardizes the first $1 million house that this company has ever drawn off of my back and goes on national television and does that, it's a disgrace to this industry. It's a disgrace to this company." Punk later then went on to say, "We're far beyond apologies. I gave him an effing chance. It did not get handled. And you saw what I had to do, which is very regrettable. Lowering myself to his effing level. But that's where we're at right now. And I will still walk up and down this hallway and say, if you have an effing problem with me, take it up with me." Oh boy. I need to address this first, because Punk, you want to talk? Go F yourself, Punk. How is Hangman Page way below your level? How big is your goddamn head right now? I heard that comment and I went, whoa. Hangman Adam Page has been one of the constant pillars of AEW. He's been one of the shining lights of their homegrown talent. And you just come in and you think you're better than him over some mediocre comments Page made about you. And this is where I'm starting to get worried. Patchy, I'm going to go to you first, because it sounds like Punk is really starting to get ahead on him.
It seems Punk's gonna regret saying this, but Punk's head is like Hulk Hogan's head right now in WCW. Like, it is way inflated, and you need to be kicked down a pedestal to bring you back down to earth, kid. And yes, you know, I'm saying kid, but you're acting like a child right now. Why do you need just to come in and bury the company like this? Like, this company gave you the love back for the thing that you loved and you lost when, you know, you were in WWE and you left and you had a failed UFC career. And now you're back here in pro wrestling where, you know, you want to wrestle these people, but then, you know, okay, we're going to throw you in the world title picture. We gave you the world title. And now it's just like, what's the deal, man? Like, why do you need to have beef with everybody? And everyone's now starting to see the light with CM Punk that maybe John Cena and Triple H were right with what they said 10 years ago on how you're only in it for yourself, and what you're going to do is best is what's best for CM Punk.
Like, but you're going to make it look like you're for the people.
Yeah, you're going to make it look like you're for the people. Okay, yes, you lost your title to The Rock, and we can all agree that was a terrible booking decision to have Cena versus Rock too. But you were gifted a golden opportunity to work with the Dead Man at WrestleMania 29, and you saying you just felt like you didn't want to be there. You could have, you know, squandered your beef about losing your title to The Rock, and you could have gone to Taker and say, "Hey, let's steal the show and let's steal this night from Rock Cena too." Instead, you
match went, was still pretty good.
Match was still great because Punk, you know, put on a performance, but. Just imagine if him and Taker could have talked it out and say, you know what, let's steal the show. Let's be like, you know, Shawn and Taker from 25, where, you know, they stole the show and, you know, they had a shitty main event with Triple H and Orton.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's like everyone's starting to see the light where Punk is just in it for himself now. And it's a terrible thing to say, because we all love CM Punk because, you know, he helped change WWE all those years ago to, you know, we got new opportunities for superstars, but now it's like he was just in it for himself. And it's terrible because everyone's now losing a piece of their child of CM. We just found out CM Punk is actually just a dick.
Yeah. Mike, before I let you go, I just wanted to mention this. This mm-hmm. was the comment that Paige made during the Double or Nothing feud that Punk was so upset about. This was, quote, "I have no respect for you." And this is, of course, this is Paige to Punk. "I have no respect for you and what you've done since you've gotten here. You want this AEW World Championship. You want it. I don't think you understand what it means to be a champion. After all these years, I don't think you get it. Because it's not just about what happens in the ring. It's what happens when the red light turns off. What happens when you go back through the curtain? It's those small, quiet moments when you think no one's watching. That's what makes a champion. You talk a big game about workers' rights, right? Well, you've shown the exact opposite since you've gotten here. So those were the comments that Paige made reportedly to CM Punk that apparently Punk did not like whatsoever. And Mike, now with this rant that he goes on, it seems like Paige was right.
Remember when Punk first debuted and he talked about the young talent in AEW? Guys like Darby Allin. I don't remember if he said MJF, but I'm going to throw guys like MJF in there. I'm even going to throw Hangman Page in there. He was putting them over in that promo. And what happened when it got to the ring? Punk goes over. Now, I know MJF's got to win over Punk. We still have yet to see the third match. I highly doubt we'll see it now. My beef here is, once again, if you're going to handle something like this, this is where I blame a little bit on Tony Khan. This is where I blame a little bit on everyone involved. Because when you have a guy like this, and I'm not saying Punk's a bad guy, but if he's frustrated with something, with Paige, with the book, you have to have someone in there, I don't care who it is, and say, you know what? We're going to air this out behind the scenes. We're not going to do this on screen. We're sure as hell not going to leak this out to the media. But we're going to air it out. If you don't like each other afterwards, I do not care. It'll make for great, ratings and buy rates for pay-per-views. It'll be great if you don't like each other. But I'm not going to have you badmouth each other to the media. You want to do it in front of the fans as a promo? Care less. You want to get personal like Rollins and Riddle a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about how great that was? You want to do something like that? I'm for that. But I'm not for just burying guys because you're unhappy about something.
You know, Mike, go ahead.
There's a couple of things in any sport you could do, but you can never bury the boys.
Right. And I think, in my opinion, this we talked about just a few minutes ago where Tony Khan just sat there looking, dumbfounded at what Punk was doing. At this point, that's when Tony Khan should have stepped up and been like, hey, stop talking, man. Like, what are you doing? Like, this isn't helping anybody. Let's go talk about this backstage. Stop spewing it to the media. That's where Tony Khan should have been a leader and have been like, okay, this interview's over. Punk, let's go. Like, let's go to the back. Let's talk about this. And if he didn't want to go, then you should have gone security and have him dragged out. So,
but if you do that, what's that make you look like as an owner? You're preventing somebody from talking. Unfortunately, I felt if Tony Khan got involved, he would have been the next one to
gotten
shit on.
Maybe.
But then you say, I'm your boss and I can fire your ass.
Right. Yeah. Going back to the whole Punk having a head on him that I mentioned, Mike, do you think, because this is where I think this came from, do you think that Punk being away for so long and kind of the cult of Punk growing in his absence, do you think that might have contributed to him having this huge head on him?
I think the reactions of crowds when he came out after being gone from 7 years and people not only remembering him but chanting his name, the consistency of the pops he would get entering any arena. We know, we saw him in January in DC. He got probably one of the biggest pops of the night. I think that does get into your head, especially when I'm going to say he puts on great matches still. He did. He put on great matches. And then he was given, because the world titles are earned, not supposed to be given. He was given it, and we can debate today, tomorrow, whenever, if we think he was a deserving guy of a world title. But I think Tony Khan and company wanted to give it to him based on the fact of, hey, it's been 7 years. We're going to give you the run we think you deserved back then. But you got to be here. And I think he just got complacent. And when he gets complacent, that's when it's like, nope, not for me anymore. And this is how I'm going to get myself out of it.
Well, you mentioned the run that he deserves. He got the run he deserved. He held the W championship for over 400 days. He got the run that he deserved because, you know, they played hot potato for a couple weeks with him and Del Rio. But he got the title reign he deserved. He held the title for over a year, which, you know, back in 2013 was unheard of. Because you held the W title for maybe 4 to 5 months, and then they threw it on somebody else to see how they would do. And if that person crashed and burned, you got the title back again, and you were the marquee again. So I'm not saying it's the world title reign he deserved. He deserved what he got. And the only thing that he never really got in WWE was the main event of WrestleMania. Closest he got was probably with Taker the 1 year, and then the other year with Jericho.
Right. So, okay. So yeah, that concluded his press conference. It's still not over, folks. Reportedly, according to multiple sources, after that press conference, Punk's, because there were videos of security running out of the next one, that being Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland's press conference. All of these comments by Punk reportedly led to a huge backstage fight between Punk and Ace Steel on one side, that being his former trainer who came out on Dynamite and fired him up. And on the other side, you had Omega and the Young Bucks. Reportedly, there were very heavy words thrown around. Ace Steel reportedly threw a chair. Punk reportedly threw a punch at Mac Jackson. Steel is also accused of biting Omega. And so, that being said, there was this huge altercation, and it led to Punk, Ace Steel, the Young Bucks, and Kenny Omega all being suspended from AEW. So not only did he suspend the AEW World Champion and vacated that title this past Wednesday on Dynamite, he also vacated the Trios Championships. God, Mike... break down what's your reaction to hearing about this huge fight now? And also, just to add another layer on this whole thing, Punk is now reportedly seriously injured again, to where he's gonna be at least out for 8 months. Even if he wasn't involved in this backstage altercation, he reportedly was gonna be out for at least 6 to 8 months. We don't know what the extent of that injury is. Punk and the Young Bucks and Omega and Ace Steel did not appear on Wednesday night Dynamite. So, God, Mike, you have the floor. Just what is your reaction hearing all this backstage fight?
Here's the other thing. This is from Wrestle Purists on Twitter. An external third-party investigation will be conducted to examine what transpired at the backstage fight following Punk's comments at the All Out media scrum. That's from Sports Illustrated. So here's the thing. First and foremost, I'm going to cut the dead weight here. Ace Steel's fired.
Yeah.
If you're a coach, trainer, I don't care. You can't be involved in picking sides. I don't care who it is. Unless it's your own kid, I don't care. That's problem one. Problem two, who could see talking crap about your employers as a bad thing and not expect consequences? Like, I get why the Bucks and Omega would be angry at that, at what Punk said. I think everybody should be angry at what Punk said. I think Punk should be angry at what he said, to be perfectly honest. But to fight about, to be on, you're the world champion, and you're the three major faces of the whole company. And you're going to get into a fight. What example are you setting for the younger superstars back there?
Mm-hmm. Now, just quickly, Mike, reportedly there haven't been any reports on who started the fight, whether the Young Bucks and Omega approached Punk or Punk approached the
We know how the fight started.
Right.
You got angry at what he said.
You went to confront him.
And that led to a louder argument. When that's not getting through, stuff is going to happen. I'm going to be totally honest with you, because I think Tony Khan actually did the right thing here to not fire anybody. Because now, because he wasn't there, he wasn't a part of it. He was sitting doing his job, which is the media scrum. That is Tony Khan's job, to be there. So Tony Khan is going to get a third party in there who is going to interview witnesses. Apparently one of the witnesses I read before on Twitter is going to be MJF. So we know how beautiful that'll be. But here's the thing. If Punk is found guilty, he's done. If the Bucks or Omega are found guilty, they might be done. So, and to strip the titles, it made the most sense. And I wonder this part too. I wonder if Punk knew he was re-hurt and he just said, screw it.
If I'm going down, I'm taking you all down with me.
I'm taking everyone with me. That's starting to play into it
right
now for me because of the injury.
Mike, all I can think of now is like MJF healing on the investigators.
You want me to talk to you?
You? About Punk?
You're a disgusting human being. Why would I ever talk to you?
Oh, God. I can just imagine that. Patchy, what's your response to this whole fight and the stripping of the titles and the suspensions?
Unfortunately, this is a simpler solution. Unfortunately, it's a hard thing to say. Everyone needs to be fired. All five of them need to be out of the company. Bucks, Omega need to be either they need to be fired or they're not allowed to be VPs or anything. There's no unfortunately, it's a situation where I understand, you know, booking decisions sometimes, but to say you're VPs and you guys win the trio titles as they're being introduced, to me, is a red flag. Because why would you put the titles on yourself when you're talking about elevating new talent, but then again, you're feeding your own ego of booking yourselves to win the trios titles. So
I agree with.
Like to me, if you're wrestling, you have to listen to what you're being booked to do. Like, I understand you're founders of the company and all that, but still, like, why put the titles on yourselves just to say, oh, we can do this. Just like Cody loses a stipulation where he could never challenge for the AEW world title was perfect for him, because it showed that he was not going to put the world title on himself as a founder / VP. With that said, you know, like I said, either they're fired or they're stripped of their VP status. And Punk, regardless, fired. Him and Ace Steel need to be fired. It's another hard thing to say. Everyone loved that Punk came back, but now that we're seeing some true colors, it might just be time for Punk to go back into the sunset and never come back to the city, the thing of pro wrestling. And he just stays in Chicago and watches the Blackhawks and Cubs.
It's really terrible, because I feel like he's tarnished his legacy.
I wouldn't say he's tarnished his legacy, because
he's done a massive blow to it.
He's shown his legacy will still stand put, but him as a person, his true colors have shown.
Right. Okay, so that's everything that has happened. So let's kind of dive into what the implications of this whole thing is going to be. So, but let's get, I got to get one thing out of the way here. There, of course, have been many reports now that coming out just today, actually, that, oh, actually the CM Punk media scrum and the everything that's being leaked was all predetermined. It was all written. It was all rehearsed. Punk meant to say it. The fight never happened. It's all a huge work. Even Sean Ross of Fightful, you know, did tweet in one of his, you know, updates of, we do have to be cognizant of the small chance that this might be a work. Mike, I'm just going to throw it out to you. Do you think there's any chance this is a work?
I'm going to say no, but I'm going to say this. They should make it into a work. They should make totally create this into a work, because before Punk got hurt the first time, who was Punk hanging out with a lot?
FTR.
You get Punk and FTR versus the Elite.
Do you turn FTR heel, or do you turn the Elite heel?
The FTR is the heel situation here, because Punk is being the ultimate heel.
Punk's the heel, so you have to turn FTR. But I'll say this. FTR are so over right now. By the way, I think they're the most over thing in AEW.
It might be the perfect time.
It might be the perfect time to do it. Just snatch it away. And I think that writes itself. You could turn this into a work, but do I believe for a second that Punk just went on script? No, because he's pulled this stuff before.
Right.
The pipe bomb exists. If it was anyone else, let's flip it a little bit. Let's say it was Hangman Page cutting that promo press conference. Then I could say, you know what? Maybe that's a work.
Mm-hmm.
Omega doing it, maybe that's a work. Not Punk.
Do you think that this could have been a work that went too far, or a shoot that got turned into a work? Could have been a weird Frankenstein of the two.
The thing I wonder about the work thing is, where does Colt Cabana's part come into this? Like that's the one area that makes me say that can't be a work, because Colt Cabana is not there. He's not doing anything.
Yeah, if you'd cut that out, then I could believe this.
Right. That's the one part. Unless you're going to do this, you're going to cut Omega out of the Elite for a minute, and it's going to be Cabana in the box against Punk FTR. But to me, that's too many moving circles, unless you go 8-man tag, and it's Cabana, Omega, the Bucks against Punk FTR and Ace Steel. But right. I don't believe that.
Okay. Patchy, what do you think? Do you think this is it? Do you think there's any truth behind it's a work? Could this been a work that turned into a shoot, or a shoot turned into a work? What do you make of this?
This is not at all means a shoot or a work, because one thing, if I understand shooting, but to shoot on Colt Cabana where you want nothing to do with him, why are you going to bring up him again? That's just going to enrage you. That's going to make you going to rage. Like, come on. We're better than that. And this can't be a work, because fans would figure it out that it's a work.
Mm-hmm.
Because wrestling fans are smart. Preconceived notion is that we're all stupid and we don't know what's going on. We know what's going on. Come on. We're wrestling fans. We love it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, this is all just real. This is real cutthroat. Everyone's at each other's throat right now because there's too many hands in the cookie jar. And I understand, you know, putting, I guess, but why were we putting world title on Punk in the first place? This can all be avoided. Punk, just have Punk there to have great matches and elevate talent. Keep the world title away from him. Like, we talked about it. We don't want, Jericho referenced it. We're not going to let anybody in the company, and then they let everybody in. You let Punk in, and it's like, okay, Punk, here's the world title because WWE shit on you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, come on. I'd rather have the world title on Moxley or Jericho still. Like, because Jericho can elevate talent, but Jericho knows he's near the end and he's just there to put talent over and show that he can still flourish at 50 years old.
And Moxley truly was screwed over by WWE.
Yes.
You know, he got nothing in that company. It's very odd because, like you said, Mike, other than the Colt Cabana comments, I could see that whole Scrum thing being a work. I could 100% see it because of the history with Hangman, because of the history with Omega and the Bucks. And there's so much other stuff backing it up because remember when MJF had his promo? What did he say? He was pissed about all the ex-WWE guys coming in. Well, what is Punk? He's the ultimate ex-WWE guy, pretty much. And a lot of people were pointing to the promos for Full Gear coming up in November about how the old guard's going to fall and new heroes will rise. People are starting to believe that maybe we're doing a whole ex-WWE guys versus like the pillars of AEW, kind of that whole thing at Full Gear. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe Punk was supposed to be part of that, but obviously with the injury, that's not happening. So new Trios champions have been crowned, that being Death Triangle. They had a match with Best Friends to open up this past Wednesday of Dynamite. And there's going to be a world title tournament culminating at Grand Slam in 2 weeks, crowning the new AEW world champion. Right now, that bracket looks like it's going to be Brian versus Jericho. And then it's going to be either Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara versus
Moxley versus Guevara. Guevara beat Allin.
Tonight. Oh, Guevara beat Allin. Okay, so it'll be Sammy Guevara versus.
By the way, side note, that's bad booking. It should have been Allin.
Well, yeah, Allin should get the world title at some point. But anyway, so it's going to be Sammy Guevara versus Jon Moxley, and then it'll be Jericho versus Danielson. The two winners will fight at Grand Slam to crown the new new AEW world champion. It's like the titles have been vacated. It's not going to be an interim champion. Okay, so to wrap this whole thing up, guys, Mike, so we assume that this thing's real, that this, all of this is bad blood boiling over. Is there a solution here, or do we have to just resort to Punk and somebody else, whether that being the Bucks or Omega, pass to go?
I think a lot depends on this third party investigation and what comes out of it. That being said, I wouldn't be shocked if Punk's out. Regardless, it's what why tame yourself to the publicity of this if you're AEW? Because I look around and I go, the Bucks and Kenny can at least say, we founded the company. We've done this for the company. You know who we are. I don't know how. I think the locker room can trust them. The locker room can't trust CM Punk.
Well, reportedly, a lot of people have been backing Paige and the Bucks and hanging right. And Omega with
so,
all of this.
So right away, I don't envy Tony Khan in this position because it's a tough call. My thing is, I think Omega and the Bucks stay. I think Ace Steel is fired. And I think you find a way to settle with Punk, whether that's a buyout or it's his outright release.
And to fuel those rumors, there was reportedly a meeting between Punk and Tony Khan on Tuesday discussing how a Punk departure would work. So just adding more fuel to the fire with this. Patchy, to you, it is. So you mentioned it a little bit earlier in your earlier thing. But is there a road to solution to have everybody stay and figure this all out, or does someone have to go?
Punk has to go. It's plain and simple. If you want to, not saying the company is nothing without Bucks and Omega, but you need to keep the Bucks and Omega there because if you let them go.
Over Punk,
everyone that founded AEW is going to be in the other company because WWE will be like, here's money. Well, we want you here, and we can see Omega in the WWE. We can see the Young Bucks go against the Usos. We can see great things with the Bucks. And not to say they'll be booked better, but they won't be under so much pressure
mm-hmm.
to do what's right. But it's simple. You need to get rid of Punk and Steel.
Yeah, I think that's where we go from here. If this is all to be true and Punk went off script and said all this stuff and trashed a lot of the AEW roster, and then like you said, Mike, if third party investigation finds that he went and started the altercation with Omega and the Young Bucks, yeah, he's got to go. He has to go, and he cannot be allowed back because he is obviously becoming a cancer in the locker room, and it can't be tolerated anymore. And I mean, I think, like, Patchy said, you can't fire Omega and the Young Bucks and keep Punk around because, like I said, the majority of the locker room is backing Omega and the Bucks here. You can't fire them and have Punk come back. That's going to be such a bad look on the company. And I think the fans will turn on him. I mean, it was crazy to think Punk was not getting as big a reaction in Chicago that he usually gets. It was loud, but it was nowhere near the godlike reception he got last year.
Right. And I think that comes a part of it because I think that's frustrating for him. Like, I bust my ass. I the rehab to get healthy so I could be in my hometown. And not that they were dead for it. It's just like, we don't need you to be the world champion.
So the nostalgia of Punk is starting to wear off on everyone finally.
It's kind of it's cut. Kind of like the nostalgia when WWE brings back legends at times. Like, that was cool for about 10 minutes, but unless you're the Undertaker, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, and it happened with so many people. It happened with the Hardys. It happened with Goldberg. It
But
happened with.
wait a second, wait a second. We were over Goldberg after the whole first Brock match, and then
Right.
We were we
we
were
didn't have to
satis
have it.
we were satisfied with Goldberg after we got Goldberg Brock 2 at WrestleMania, where they gave us the proper WrestleMania match they should have given us prior to before WrestleMania. They gave us the right one instead of WrestleMania 20.
Right.
But to go off on something, if I can for a minute,
Absolutely.
because I want to go into this tournament because we talked about the four who are left. It's Moxley and Guevara, Danielson and Jericho. Now, if they're going to play off of what happened on Dynamite, which was MJF was cutting a promo, Moxley interrupts him and says, not the time or the place to be talking about this, which means Moxley would win the tournament and then MJF is going to beat. It doesn't matter who wins the tournament, MJF's taking the title from them,
Because he has the chip from the casino ladder
from the
match.
casino bet. I'm wondering now, before we found out the injury, I wondered if Punk would come back off that. Like, oh, you have my title. Like what Punk did in WWE when
Right.
he left with the title.
I was almost wondering if, like, let's say all this was real. I was wondering if they were going to say, all right, Punk, let's just do this. You drop the title to MJF at Grand Slam, and then you can leave. I was wondering if that was going to be the case, but obviously now it's not. Because even, like I said, because like we said, even if Punk didn't get in this altercation, he's hurt. And so he's not going to be able to wrestle.
Yeah, he's hurt, and I believe I read Christian's hurt.
Christian Cage, yes, is hurt as well. There were a couple injuries sustained at All Out. All right. So I think that is going to wrap it up for recapping the. We didn't even talk about All Out. We just talked about all the drama that happened
We
after
went all out for CM Punk.
we did.
Listen, we'll bring you another episode where we give our reaction to the All Out pay-per-view and NXT 2.0 Worlds Collide. How
Yes,
about that, boys?
we could definitely get
We can
into
come back
that.
one more time, and then we're putting out more wrestling content. I think we did in the last 3 weeks,
Yeah.
and we've had all year almost.
Well, the wrestling world has given us plenty of content to talk about. That's for sure. All right, yeah. So, but that's gonna do it for this episode of the Face Turn Podcast here on the Sports Insanity Network. Check out the website www.thesportsinsanitynetwork.com for some great blogs, articles for all of our other shows. Meet the crew. Get this podcast wherever you get your podcast, that being Anchor, Spotify, Google, Apple, anywhere. And for Lawrence Patchman Lang and the Pun Master Mike Rifkin, I'm Noah Trombley. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch you all next time.
Namaste.
Say goodnight to your mama. Mama loves you. Say goodnight to your papa. Papa loves you too.